32. I want to look at this evening at the subject of sin and its solution. Sin and its solution. Psalm 32. And we'll take the time to read this entire psalm together. Psalm number 32. And let's give due diligence to the reading of the Word of God. Very important. Let's hear what God would have to say to us. Titles of all the Psalms are inspired, so we read those as well. Psalm 32, a Psalm of David Maskell. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my soul, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So our prayer, our desire, God would bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The words of verse 5 will form the basis of what we want to consider this evening, as we think of this subject. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Let's just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer before we come to the preaching of his word tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for your presence with us. We thank thee, O God, that you've been here. We thank thee for help given as we have praised thy name and worshipped thee in song. But Heavenly Father, we cry unto thee now for the help of heaven. As we come to the infallible scriptures of truth, we realize and acknowledge again tonight just how much we need thee. Lord, these words, this task is beyond us naturally. And therefore, O God, we cry unto thee for the help of the Spirit. We cry unto thee tonight for the understanding and the aid of the Holy Spirit of God to come and teach us, to come and instruct us. Lord, as we look at this issue and this matter of sin tonight and see how this matter can be dealt with, we ask, O God, that tonight hearts will be spoken to, lives might be changed. And Lord, tonight for those still in their sin, Lord, that they this night will do even as the psalmist did. O God, we pray that tonight you'd be pleased to come. Cover transgressions, O God, we pray. Cleanse hearts from the sin, Lord, that is taking them to a lost hell. And Lord, that this night they might know the forgiveness, they might know the pardon that there is from sin tonight. So hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Two of the plagues that has gripped modern society in 2019. There's first of all the acknowledging of a problem in this land. Not only the acknowledging of a problem in this land, but also the acknowledging of a problem in lives. So many people today will tell us of issues and matters that are wrong, and yet they never seem to come to the heart of the matter, and that is sin. And if they do, then there seems to be no real way as to how sin can be dealt with. So there is, first of all, this lack of awareness of sin, what sin is. But more than that, there is this lack of ability to deal with sin or how to deal with sin. Why is this? Why is it tonight in 2019 in this society in which we live that there is such a lack of understanding? Why is it tonight that all the ills of society seem to be washing over us more and more? Well, is it not the case that in this generation in which we live, people have moved away from the absolute final standard of the Word of God? You see, when you move away from any absolute, then you'll be in a sense of confusion. If you deviate from a truth, whatever that truth may be, it'll always bring a lack of uncertainty and a lack of clarity. And that has been played out in our modern society today. We've moved away from the standard, the only standard, the sole standard of the Word of God as being the final arbiter in all things, to this relative, open, fluid standard which can and does change according to the prevailing notions of man. And that is particularly evident when we come to deal with the matter of sin and how it can be solved. To deal with such matters, we need to get back to the Word of God. And to deal with that matter, we want to look at it tonight in this verse 5 of Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is one of the penitential psalms of David after he fell into sin. And it very succinctly summarizes for us first the problem and then also the provision. How that the problem of sin can be dealt with. You will see at the beginning of the psalm, it's entitled Maskil. It means instruction. 13 Maskil psalms in total. 13 psalms of instruction, direct, clear instruction. And it's important to note that this is the first of them. Psalm 32 is the first Maskil psalm. And what is it all about? It's all about the problem of sin and how sin can be dealt with. And that's the fundamental issue which, as a nation and as a people and as an individual tonight, if you're here without Christ, this is the fundamental issue that you need to deal with. It's the problem of sin. And the very fact that Psalm 32 is one of those first Maskil psalms, one of those first psalms of instruction dealing with the problem of sin, is not without significance. He uses various words here in Psalm 32 to describe sin. We looked at the opening verses of Psalm 32 some years back. You probably won't remember that. I don't expect you to. But there are different terms used in Psalm 32 as to how sin is described. It's described as a transgression. It means a stepping over the mark. The word sin itself is used. It speaks of a falling short of the standard that is required. The word iniquity is also used. That means a lawlessness, a disregard for the law of God. And then there's the word guile that is used, and that means a total wretchedness and deceit. But having given all the various forms and terms for sin, which all bring out for us the wretchedness and the vileness of sin, there is this key verse in verse number 5 that brings us to the heart of the problem and the provision for the problem. Sin and its solution, it's found in the words of verse number 5. I want you to see, first of all, with me here in this verse, that there is a definite acceptance. In verse 5, we read, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. Here's a man taking ownership, taking responsibility, and a definite acceptance for his own sin and his own guilt. The context is, of course, that David has fallen into sin, fallen into terrible sin. He'd fail the Lord. But the thing is, he is willing to take ownership of it. He was going to accept that problem, not to shy away from it. Of course, of God's people, we all need to accept the sin within our lives, own up to it. But tonight we want to apply this message in the gospel. Because tonight, for you who are unconverted and still out of Christ, perhaps tonight you're far from God. Once you walked well with God, but tonight you're far from Him. You need tonight to take this ownership and this acceptance of sin. You see, sinner, if you're ever going to be in heaven, if you're ever going to know salvation from sin, forgiveness from sin, then you need to take ownership of your sin. Notice what the psalmist says, I acknowledged whose sin? My sin. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. It's very easy, isn't it, to point out the sin and the faults and the flaws in everyone else's life. I remind you tonight, you will not stand to give an account for anyone else's sin. You'll stand to give an account before God of your sin. Why tonight is hell filled with lost damned? Not because of the sin of a family member or a relative or a friend. They are there because of their own sin. Their own sin. And they have failed to take an account, an ownership of their sin. Oh, sinner, tonight you stand condemned before a holy God because of your own personal sin. My sin condemned me. It didn't condemn anyone else. Sinner, you need tonight to realize the serious problem of your own sin. You know, whenever you speak to people, some people, about being saved, about getting right with God, and you come to this matter of sin, and if you're going to be faithful, you have to deal with sin. You have to. But so quickly and so flippantly, many will point out the sin in everyone else's life. And then they'll point out about the sin in the Christian's life. Then they'll point out about the sin in the church. And then they'll point out about the sin in the nation. And all the time they overlook the problem, their own sin. Is that you tonight? Have you failed to take ownership and accountability of your own sin? Have you failed to accept that before God you are a sinner? Oh, what a foolish position to take. What an unwise view to have. Maybe tonight you're trying to hide sin. Maybe tonight you're trying to cover sin. Well, look what the psalmist says. Mine iniquity have I not hid. No point in trying to hide your sin. There's no point tonight in trying to bring around you some cloak of goodness, some cloak of acceptance, and all the time your heart's sinful, damns your soul in hell. There's no point pretending to all around that all is well with your soul when you know deep down in your heart all is not well. And you're trying to hide your sin, you're trying to cover your sin your own way. Remember what Hagar said way out there in the darkness and the emptiness of the wilderness, what did she say? Thou God seest me. And tonight as God looks into this meeting, He sees what no one else sees. He sees your heart tonight. You might try to hide how you are before God from everyone else, but He looks into your heart and He sees that sin that needs to be acknowledged and that sin that needs to be admitted. Remember that account in Scripture of a man who was living it up in sin? Man living on the wild side of life, we might say, partying his life away, sinning his life away. And in the midst of a great party, in the midst of great worldliness and pleasure, what did God do? God stepped into his life and revealed his sin to him and said that night, that awful night, what it must have been for Belshazzar that night to hear from God, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin, thou art weighed, found in the balances and found wanting." Tonight, as God looks into your heart, does he weigh up the state of your heart? And you found wanting. Found wanting. He wouldn't take ownership of his sin. And God says you need to awaken. He told Belshazzar he needed to flee. Oh, tonight, sinner, you need to flee from God. Flee to God. You need to waken up tonight. For too long you've been sleepwalking your way to a lost sinner's hell, believing all to be well, and everything will be all right. You need to acknowledge the sin of your life tonight. You need to waken up. Can I say very reverently to you tonight, you need to wise up. Sin has blinded you, sin has bound you, sin controls you, and sin has been lulling you into this false sense of security. And week after week after week, you believe everything's all right. Oh, tonight, if only you would realize the dire state of your heart. If only tonight you would realize just how you are before God. That tonight, if you die in your sin, you'll be lost. Lost. No hope. Is it not time you accepted the sin in your life? Is it not time you owned up to this problem? Is it not time you accepted your sinnership before God? Because until you come to that point and come to that place, you will never be right before God. There's the definite acceptance. But as well in this verse, I want you to see now there's the demanded admission. He says, "I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord." You see, now that he's been awakened to his sin, what does he do? He confesses sin. "I will confess my transgressions." You need to confess your sin. You need to admit to that sin. What does confession mean? It doesn't mean going into some telephone box and some man on the other side. Anyway, let's not go there. Confession. It's a very important word in the Scripture, a very important truth and doctrine in the Scripture. And because of all the false and flawed teachings of Rome, and even those who claim to be Protestant, there's so much false teaching about confession of sin, what exactly it is. What is confession? Well, there are two things to confession I want you to remember. First of all, there's an agreement. There's an agreement. You see, when you confess your sin, you are agreeing with God what God has said about your sin. You're agreeing with God that your sin is an abhorrence in the sight of a holy God. That sin is opposite to all that God is. That your sin is keeping you from Him, and if not turned from, it will damn your soul in hell. In confessing your sin, you are agreeing with that whole doctrine, that whole truth of man's sin. Listen, you mightn't understand it all. You mightn't be able to grasp it all. But you know this, your sin is wrong. You know this, that God hates sin. You know that with every fiber of your being, you've sinned before God. And how that sin controls and contaminates your life. So confess, and it means to be in agreement. It means to agree with what God has said about your sin. That's where many fall down. And God calls sin an abhorrence. And when sin is described as a stench in the nostrils of God, that's where many fall down. So many fancy terms used to describe the ills of society. We've mentioned them in the past. Homosexuality, an alternative way of life. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's sin. Abortion, described as the woman's right to choose. It's nothing of the sort. It's sin. It's murder. Tonight, there needs to be an agreement in your confession of sin. But not only is there to be an agreement, but there is also to be an abandonment. That word confess there in verse number 5, it literally means to cast away from you. It talks about an abandoning. It talks about a being done with your sin. In other words, you need to turn your back on sin. Because listen, you can't keep your sin and still go to heaven. Means a total abandoning of sin. It's not, you see, just good enough to stop doing certain things. Maybe to try to reform your life. People talk about trying to live a more moral life, a more upright life. They'll stop the drink. They'll stop the wild lifestyle. They'll stop the sinful habits and try to make themselves into a better person. Well, it might make yourself a better person, but it'll never save your soul if you do not totally, entirely abandon your sin. A moral reformation, a better way of life, a stopping of certain things, the alcohol, the cursing, the swearing, all commendable. But if you've never owned up to the real problem of sin and seen the real problem of sin, then you have not confessed your sin. You see, someone who is saved by the grace of God, someone who sees sin for what it really is, does so with a heavy, heavy heart. Someone who sees that their sin is a terrible thing in the sight of God. Someone who sees that their sin has separated them from God. Someone who sees their sin has grieved God. Someone who sees their sin taking them to hell. I tell you, there'll be a brokenness. There'll be a heaviness. And as such, there'll be an abandoning. In this easy believism age, we're told that you can come to Christ and be saved and still continue on the way you were. You can be saved and still continue in the lifestyle that you once had. That is not conversion from sin. That's a glossing over the problem. If you do not have a hatred for your sin, if you do not have a heaviness for your sin, if you have not abandoned your sin, then tonight you are still in sin. You still love that sin. There is to be this total abandoning of sin. So there is to be this agreement, there is to be this abandonment in confession. And when we bring those two truths together, that's exactly what God wants. He wants us to confess that our sin is evil. He wants us to confess that our sin is wrong. And then having done that, He wants us to entirely abandon our sin. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? You ever confessed your sin to God and turned away from it? nothing more to do with it. There needs to be this confession. There needs to be this admission if you're ever going to be saved. There is the acceptance, there is the admission, but finally, tonight there is the divine acquittal. At the end of verse 5 we read, "And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Did you hear that? "Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Who did he confess his sin to? Who did he acknowledge his sin to? He acknowledged it to the Lord. And it was the Lord that forgave his sin. God tonight, God forgives sin. Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and so free? Thank God tonight that sin which condemns us, that sin which damns us, but if that sin is confessed, then God says, "I will forgive you. I'll acquit you. I'll discharge you of all the guilt of your sin. I'll release you from the grip of your sin and deliver you. You accept you are a sinner. Christ will accept you into his family." Notice the words used in the opening part of verse number 1. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Cleansing and covering. That's what God does to those who confess their sin. He forgives and he covers. That wonderful verse in Isaiah where he says, "I will blot out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. I will remember your sins no more." What an amazing transformation, you see, the gospel brings. In fact, no other human method, no other human invention or ideology can do such a thing or change a life. Only the Lord can forgive sins. When we come to think of God's forgiveness of sins, we are very much coming to legal matters, coming into a courtroom scene. And that's why I use the word acquittal. Because you see, every sinner tonight in this meeting, you stand before God's judgment bar. You're on trial for your sin. And tonight, your sin stands to condemn you. And you have absolutely no defense to offer. Oh, you might try your excuses. You might try to tell God why you are the way you are. But none of your excuses will stand before the judge of all the earth. You see, you have no way to answer the charge of sin that is laid against you. That is why God in love sent his Son into this world to be our Savior and to satisfy on the cross all the demands of the law on our behalf. That's why Christ, the Redeemer, stepped in and paid the sinner's price. That our sins can be remitted, our sins can be acquitted through the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. He made a full and entire satisfaction for sin. Christ on the cross satisfied the demands that God laid down. And it's through him. It's through faith in him and him alone that your sins can be forgiven. We sang that hymn tonight. On the golden streets of heaven, many. Multitudes, myriads of people hope to walk someday, yet so many are not willing to accept the living way. Tonight, where is your dependence for heaven? What tonight is it that you're depending upon to get you to heaven? What tonight is it that you're relying upon for forgiveness of sins? If you've never come to that point where you've confessed your sin and thrown your all upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross, then you have got absolutely no guarantee of heaven. If tonight you are not depending alone and only on the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, then you have got nothing to plead before God. But when you come God's way, and when you acknowledge your sin, when you admit your sin, and when you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The wise man says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." Oh, you might prosper in this life. Everything might be well. But you'll not prosper in the life that is yet to come. But he goes on to say, "Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Thank God tonight we have a merciful, gracious Father who's willing to forgive. Because you see, in that great covenant of redemption, God has covenanted to forgive the sins of all those who will confess. God is faithful, God is just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us. Oh, sinner, tonight you need to confess your sin. You need to forsake your sin. You need to turn away from your sin. You need to have a sorrow and a heaviness for your sin, a grief over your sin. And you need to come to Christ in all of your sin and plead for His mercy and cry for His forgiveness. If you do it, here's the assurance, here's the pardon. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. God forgives sin tonight. God forgives sin that is acknowledged. God forgives sin that is confessed. Therefore, tonight, why not come to Him? Don't try to hide your sin any longer. Don't try to cover your sin anymore. But tonight, do as the words of our text say, acknowledge your sin. Then confess that sin with this assurance, God will forgive you of your sin. I wonder tonight if God were to step into this meeting. Were God to write the testimony of your life on the wall behind me, what would He have to say? Would He say of you, you're weighed in the balances and found wanting? Or would He say, covered and cleansed and pardoned? What's the testimony of your life tonight? Are you still in your sin? If so, then you need to come. Here's the solution that the psalmist offers to us. The only way your sin can be dealt with, acknowledgement and confession. You come to Christ tonight. Leave your sin behind and find in Him that forgiveness, that mercy, which He alone can give. That sin which is taking you to a lost eternity. That sin, if at this very moment God were to bring down upon your life, could damn your soul in hell, would damn your soul in hell. But also at this very moment, if you forgive or confess your sin, call unto God for mercy, He'll forgive your sin. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and tonight set you your way to heaven and to home. You need to deal with the problem of sin in your life, and you need to bring it to Christ. And when you do that, he'll forgive. He'll cleanse and he will pardon. Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven this evening, we thank thee for Scriptures of truth and for the instruction that we glean therein. O God, we thank thee tonight for this word from God. We thank the Lord tonight that if we acknowledge our sin, if we confess our sin, that you will forgive us of our sin. And O God, we pray that by the help and by the aid of the Holy Spirit of God, that tonight you will be pleased, Lord, to bring sinners to that place of repentance. Bring them, Lord, to that place where they would leave their sin and abandon their sin. Bring them, Lord, to that place where they would cast their all and throw their all upon the finished work of Christ on the cross. O God, we pray that tonight you will be pleased in this meeting to forgive sin. O God, we cry unto thee tonight, do thine own work. Do, Lord, thy convicting work in hearts. Do thy converting work in hearts tonight. And Heavenly Father, we just pray that this evening, those who are still yet in their sin, may they come the way of the cross. May they come, Lord, to Christ, and may they find there peace, forgiveness, and pardon forevermore. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts, we ask. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to the hymn number 276. 276, so now I see the cleansing wave, the fountain deep and wide, Jesus my Lord, mighty to save, points to his wounded side. 276, we'll stand as we sing, and those not remaining for the Lord's table, you're free to leave after the singing of verse number 1.